Luke chapter 2, passage of scripture most of you can quote by heart. I love talking about Jesus being born. Folks, if it wasn't for that, we'd surely be in trouble, wouldn't we? Luke chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Father, we love you so much today. Thank you for the wonderful songs the congregation sang and this precious lady sang this morning. Thank you, Father, for ushering in the middle of Benson Grove Church this morning and, Lord, letting us feel your precious touch. God, what a great Christmas present you give us every day when you allow us to feel your wonderful touch. Lord, I pray for every person that's represented in this church this morning. I know that many have come with problems and issues and complaints and depression, and some are tired, some are lonely. God, I pray you'd speak to them as only you can. Lord, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, I pray they would come to know you before it's too late. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. There was a way in a manger. Away in the manger, away from some things and away to some things. Let's talk about the things that there was a way in the manger to. The first thing that there was a way to through the manger was heaven. You see, you and I could not get to heaven on our own because our righteousness is like filthy rags. The Bible says that all of us have failed and sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way we'll ever get to heaven is if we go through that baby that was born in that manger. So there was a way in the manger for us to get to heaven. Isn't that good? A way in the manger for us to get to heaven. There's also a way in the manger for us to get to God. You see, God can't look upon impurity. God cannot look upon sin. But thank the Lord, in 1975, I walked an aisle, got on my knees in the middle of an altar in Boone, North Carolina at Westview Baptist Church. That day I had holes in the bottom of my shoes and I had holes in my jeans, and I didn't buy them that way. They were worn that way. Didn't have on a nice shirt, had an old t-shirt on. I didn't have one thing in my pocket. I had nothing to offer the Savior. But when I got on my knees and told him that I was sorry for what I'd done, and ask him to forgive me. Folks, he didn't care about the old t-shirt I had on and the holes in my shoes. He just took those big arms of love that were laying in that manger. He put those arms of love around me and he said, "Son, I love you and I'm glad you're home. I'm glad to have you part of my family." And folks, he's never let go of my hand. He's never let go of my heart. He's never let go of my mind. What a wonderful Savior we have. Because there's a way in the manger. We had a way to get to God. The only way we could do it was through that precious baby boy, Jesus Christ, born in that manger. Also, there's a way to happiness. I know a lot of people that suffer with depression. It runs in my family tremendously. I know a lot of folks that have been brought down and bent down, broken down. Seems like there's no way for you to turn but up. But I want you to know something, folks. Jesus has made a way through that manger. There's a way in the manger to be happy. You know, you can try money, you can try fame, you can try all these things that we see on TV and hear on the radio. You can try them all. Some of them are good, some of them aren't. But I do know this for sure. None of them, and I repeat, none of them will bring you peace and happiness like Jesus will. He is our happiness. He is our joy. He is our hope. So there's a way in the manger to happiness, folks. You don't have to be down and out and discouraged. Folks, we've got something to live for. We've got a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that loves you and loves me. We ought to be shouting the house down today because of that. Amen. So there is a way in the manger to happiness. Also, there's a way to peace. David called Jesus the peacemaker. It's also a way to contentment. A lot of times, especially the guys, it seems to run in the guys more than it does the ladies. But the guys always seem to have a problem of being content. Oh, that car's red. I wish it was black. Oh, my house is not big enough. I need to build a bigger one. And all those things are okay, as long as we're not lusting after them. But the thing is, folks, we need to find contentment in our life and peace in our life and realize what's important in our lives. And what's important is really not how big our house is or what kind of car we're driving. What's really important is when you wake up in the morning and be content. And you can be content because there was a way made in the manger 2,000 years ago for you to be content. And that's the only contentment, only peace that you'll ever have. Not only is there a way to some things in the manger, there's also a way from things in the manger. A way from, first of all, the enemy. You know, many of you know I lost my brother. I didn't really lose him. I know where he is. But my brother went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, and it's made heaven so much sweeter. It really has. But I got to be honest with you. My wife and I were sitting together at dinner this week talking, and both of us agreed that seeing Tony's going to be wonderful, but that's not going to be the best thing. And seeing our Savior is going to be the best thing that ever happened to us. It's going to be the greatest, most wonderful moment. But on top of that, my wife and I were talking how we are so looking forward to there being no enemy in heaven. Amen. Now you talk about peace. We'll really experience that when we get there and the enemy's gone. Amen. So there's a way from the enemy in the manger. There's also a way from sin. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can have that life today and have it more abundantly. I was at my recording studio a few years ago and the telephone rang and I picked up the phone and it was my wife on the other end of the phone. She said, "Hurry up and get home." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "It's Brittany, our oldest daughter." I said, "What's wrong?" She slammed the phone down. It scared me to death. I didn't know what was going on. As I got in the car and started heading home as fast as I could, I was thinking in my mind what could have happened. When I had left home that morning, my daughter was about 11 or 12 years old. She was on top of a trampoline jumping up and down. So on my little 3-minute excursion back to the house as fast as I could go, in my mind I was thinking she has fallen off that trampoline and she's broken something. So as soon as I get home, I go running in the front door and there is my little girl in the middle of the living room floor with her face down in the carpet. Mud and dirt all over where sweat and tears had mixed in with it. She'd been playing outside all morning. And I went running over there and I got on my knees beside of her and I put my arms around her and I said, "Honey, what is it? Is it your arm? Let me see your arm. Is it your elbow? Is it your leg? Did you break your leg out there? Is it your foot? Let me see your foot." And folks, she looked up at me with those big old green eyes. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. She said, "No, Daddy, no. My foot's not broken." She said, "Daddy, my hands aren't broken. My arms aren't broken and my legs aren't broken." But she said, "Daddy, my heart's broken." She said, "Daddy, I need Jesus to be my Savior." I said, "Honey, I didn't know you'd ever sin today in your life, but the Bible says we all have and you do need a Savior just as I do." She said, "Daddy, help me know him." And folks, we held hands in the middle of that living room floor. My wife came over and grabbed our hands. And I heard that little girl call on the name of Jesus. And she said, "Father, I'm a sinner. Lord, I've done wrong. Father, I've failed. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart and save my soul." Folks, she got under the spout where the glory runs out. She really got it. And the happiest Easter I ever remember was baptizing my daughter on Easter Sunday morning. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. So there's a way in the manger from sin. You don't have to live in sin. Sure, we all sin and come short of the glory of God, but we have forgiveness because of that way in the manger. If you need forgiveness this morning, I can take you to the man that can do it. I can't give you forgiveness, but Christ can. And I'd love for you to meet him today if you don't know him. Also, there's a way in a manger from loneliness. A way in a manger from loneliness. I've got to tell you the truth. The past few weeks have been very lonely for me. I used to make a phone call every day about 12 o'clock, and it was to my brother. And whether he was in Alabama or North Carolina or California, didn't matter where it was, he would always take my call. We'd always have a laugh over something. Tony was always laughing. We would always say something about the Lord and what we had read or talked about or studied during the time. And we just had a great relationship. September the 28th was a day that I'll never forget. I'd been at the hospital with Tony 5 days earlier. And while I was there, the doctors had told us that he was pretty sick, but they thought he was going to be okay. I stayed that first day with Tony, and I thought everything was going to be fine, so I went on back home. The very next day, they called me and said his lung had collapsed. So I get back in the car at the beach, and I drive back to Charlotte to the hospital to where he is. And I'm with him all day Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And I wanted to go back and get my girls so they could see their Uncle Buck, as they called him, Tony. And I asked the doctor, I said, do you think Tony will be stable enough for me to make the trip back to the beach to get my girls and come back? He said, oh yeah, he's doing the same as he did yesterday. He's okay. I said, all right. So went on home, got home about midnight that night. About 5 o'clock in the morning, my mother called me, said that Tony had progressively gotten worse, and the doctors felt like they needed to take him off the ventilator as soon as possible. I said, Mama, please don't let him take him off that ventilator till I get there. Well, at 9 o'clock rolled around, and the doctor decided to go ahead and take him off the ventilator. The doctors felt like that he wouldn't live more than 30 or 45 minutes after they did that. I couldn't leave the beach because of complications until 9 o'clock. And folks, I drove 2 hours, got to a little place called Laurinburg, North Carolina. Pulled in the Walmart parking lot, and folks, I was unable, literally unable to drive another mile. For 2 hours, I sat in that car with my face down in my hands and tears pouring down my face, asking God why I would have to walk through a valley like this. Asking God why this has to be, and asking the Lord for mercy and for grace to help me through this. Asking him to give my mother grace and mercy to get through it. Asking for grace for our family. After 2 hours of being unable to drive or even really think calmly at all, finally my wife and my daughters caught up with me in another car. They picked me up and they carried me on to Charlotte. The whole time I was thinking that Tony had already passed away because of what the doctor said. But the whole time I was praying, Lord, please don't let him go till I'm there to tell him I love him. We got to the hospital at 4:25 that afternoon. When I went running in the hospital aisle where Tony was, I could hear singing. It was Gerald Wolfe of Greater Vision in the room with Tony, singing to the top of his lungs. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I went running in the room, and as I walked through the room, the nurse stopped me and he said, Tim, I've never seen anything like this. I said, what? He said, your brother's waiting on you. And I went over Brother Billy and took him by the hand, put my lips up against his forehead and kissed him. And I whispered in his ear, I said, son, I love you. And I said, I'm going to miss you. But you go on to the place that we've sang about and preached about. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, son, wait for me by the river. Tony took 5 more breaths and he was gone. Folks, the only way my family's gotten through this, the only way this man you're looking at this morning has gotten through this, is because there was a way prepared in the manger 2,000 years ago. For an old sinner boy like me. How can he love somebody like me? I'll never figure it out. But the thing is, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he loves me because he shows me each and every day. And today, if you don't know the Savior, if you've never experienced that way that's in the manger, then I want to tell you something. You're living below your privilege. Christ has made a way for you through that baby in Bethlehem. That baby that went on to grow up to be 33 years old and then went to a cross and bled and died for your sins and for mine. He had never sinned a time, not once. But he gave his life so that you could have life, so that I could have life and we could have it more abundantly. There was a way in the manger. Would you stand with me this morning? heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if the pianist would come for me and play very softly. And I wonder today, how many folks are discouraged? I mean, if you're really discouraged this morning, I want to tell you something. There's a way in the manger for you to get through that discouragement and to get happy. And I want to encourage you today to walk this aisle and come to this altar of prayer and ask the Lord to help you with that awfulness, that depression that you have. I wonder who'd come join these that are on their way right now and say, Lord, I'm coming today because of my loneliness. Lord, I can't handle it anymore. There was a way in the manger for that loneliness. Oh, Lord, I can't handle this financial need anymore. Folks, you don't have to give it to Jesus. God bless you as you're coming. People all over the house coming. Come on. A way in the manger for you this morning. There's a way. Brother Tim, I don't know how I'm going to get through this sickness. My friend, there's a way in the manger. Bring it to him this morning. Brother Tim, I don't know what I'm going to do with my son or my daughter. They're lost and they're out in the world doing awful things. Folks, there's a way in the manger for them to get to God. Come and present them before Jesus this morning. Lay their names down at his precious feet and ask him to save them this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we adore you, we love you, we praise you. God, thank you for being our friend. Thank you for being our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for coming to Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for an old wretched sinner like me. Lord, I thank you for every person in this altar right now. Lord, so many different things that are being prayed. Some are asking for help with their depression. Some are asking for help for their loneliness. Some are asking for help for their financial needs and marital problems and family problems. Some have come this morning and said, God, I just want to be closer to you. I just want to come thank you, Lord, for making a way for me in that manger. Lord, there's people here, I believe, that are asking you for the very first time, saying, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin and would you come into my heart and save me? Folks, if that's you, just pray with all your heart, not necessarily with your lips, but with all your heart. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Father, I have failed and I ask you to forgive me and I ask you to come into my heart and save me. If you just prayed that sinner's prayer and just asked Christ into your heart, slip up your hand, would you? One anywhere? Thank you. Is there another? Thank you. Is there another this morning? Father, thank you for saving souls at Benson Grove. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' sweet and precious name, amen.